Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the A New Day show. I apologize for the tardiness in beginning this morning because we have been experiencing some slight technical difficulties. So I am happy that I'm able to be on speaking with you. I know my guest has been holding on. I saw her, just couldn't get to her. So without any further delay, I want to go directly into the show. I want to remind the callers that you can call 1-646-915-8166. I have two amazing guests today. My first guest, I know she's waking up in the wee hours of the morning. She's calling in from Las Vegas. I'm going to be bringing her on momentarily. And I will have to go back and get the chat room up in a minute. So for those of you who are there wondering why the chat room is not up, give me a minute because we are having some technical difficulties that I know that will be resolved. After my first guest, we are guess who is coming back? We will be having the Mindful Chef back on this morning, and we're going to get into some very energetic dialogue. So brace yourself. Today's show will be an amazing show for you, and I know, oh, my heavens, my numbers are growing. I'm in excess of 23,000, and, oh, I love all of you so much for following me on the radio and for listening, and please share the word, and if you want to meet me in person, have me come to your country, your city, or your town, I am open to travel. So, with that being said, Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful, my friend. I am calling in on the phone because there's some technical difficulties with Skype this morning, and I don't know what it is, but we're going to have a good old time. And how is my friend Tom doing, both Toms?
Both Toms are doing very well. We're all doing great. We love it in Las Vegas.
Oh, girl, don't tell me. I'm supposed to come out there. But
when?
We're going to talk about that. Well, Bonnie's an actress, and I know when I met you so many moons ago. How long ago we met? Maybe about 20-something years or so?
Yes. Yes, we
oh
know each
God.
Other at least 20 years.
Where has the time gone? I want you to take a few minutes and introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about your beginning. And then I titled the episode this morning, Reinventing Your Life and Your Career. But I don't want you to talk about the new Bonnie. Let's talk about the previous Bonnie, the Bonnie I knew back 20 years ago.
Okay. 20 years ago, my husband and I owned...
Well, before that, tell them about your beginning. You got to tell them who you are. Introduce them to you.
Oh, okay. My name is Bonnie Bloss, and originally I'm from New York City, and then I moved to Danbury, Connecticut. I have one son, and I will be married almost 30 years, coming up in February.
Congratulations. Congratulations. You know, that's such a good thing for young people to hear now, because young people now, they don't stay married, you know. Somebody don't take the garbage out and they say, oh, they're going to get a divorce. So to hear that somebody's married 30-plus years, it's a blessing. So I congratulate you and Tom.
Thank you so much.
Yes, so yep. You were in Danbury, Connecticut, and you were a business owner and all of that stuff, right?
Yes. Yes, I owned a business in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I met you, because we started a focus group to try to get more business for each other. So we used to meet once a month, and we all worked together on helping each other.
And what I want the people to understand, Bonnie, because I want them to know that it's never too late to do something else. You and your husband were extremely successful in what you did. You had great clients, corporate clients, small business clients, entrepreneurs. You all were very successful. But then you all moved and you sold your business and you all relocated to Las Vegas.
Correct. That's correct.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. The show is yours. I'm pushing you forward because you weren't moving swiftly.
Okay. And then I had a job offer out in Las Vegas. That's why we decided to come to the West Coast, and we were sick of the weather like everybody else. And once we got out here, unfortunately, the job fell through. They had hired somebody else. So here we are in Las Vegas. None of us have jobs. And our family was still back in Connecticut. So I began selling, being a salesperson for Ford Motor Company. And Tom started new as a realtor. So we did that for quite a long time. And then 2 years ago, I decided I'd like to start an acting career. I had previously...
Hold on a minute. I want let the listeners understand something before you go into that part. You're listening to a lady who was extremely successful in what she did. They sold their business to go out for a job offer that fell through. But she and her husband did not panic about what happened in their lives. They reinvented themselves. She went into sales, did something else. Her husband went into doing something else. So they both had to learn something new. And I want you to realize what happened. She wasn't settling. And now is where she's going to go into this new reinvention that she did, 2 years ago. So continue, Bonnie.
So after a while of not really enjoying what I'm doing, I didn't say, okay, let's give up. Let's pursue something else. There's always something out there.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go and get it.
And follow your heart. Follow your heart.
Exactly. Exactly.
And our hearts, Bonnie, lead us in the right direction if we are obedient, you know?
Yes, I do. And so does a higher power, too.
Mm-hmm.
Between your heart and a higher power, you have to pursue whatever you feel is right within your heart.
Mm-hmm. Somebody had told you 20 years ago you're going to become an actress, you would tell them they're crazy, right?
Absolutely. Never, ever, ever. Never would anybody say, sure, you know, you're going to be an actress 20 years from now. Mm. No, it doesn't. No, it's what I was feeling inside.
Wonderful, wonderful. So now, can you remember that moment, Bonnie, when you had that first inclination that, hey, I want to become an actress? You remember that moment? And when you told Tom, what did he say?
We were sitting at the dinner table, and I had seen an ad in the local newspaper that they needed actresses and models, extras for film, and I said, that's what I want to do. And
wonderful.
Everybody sitting at the table just stopped and stared at me and said,
they're fools in time.
What, are you crazy? Look, you're 50-something years old, and you want to go and be an actress? I said, yes, that's what I want to do. So
wonderful, wonderful.
In the
wonderful.
Beginning, it was a little difficult.
I don't
know
where you have the 50-something years, because it certainly ain't showing on you, girl. Where you have that tuck away?
Believe me, it's this beautiful Las Vegas weather.
Listen to you bragging and showing off. You are just bragging. So, you know, I'm excited about that. Even though people are bringing up your age and to tell you why, you knew and you pursue. So let's take it from there now. You called up the people that were in the advertisement?
Yes, and I went down and I went for an interview, and they took some photos, and I got signed by an agency out here.
Mm.
And from then on, I promote myself as well as the agency that I'm signed with. When I want something so badly, I'm like a dog on a piece of meat.
Mm.
I don't let go.
Mm.
You can't let go. You can't get discouraged.
You have to have the tenacity to get what you want. Because you know what happened, especially with women, Bonnie? They sit around and they wait for somebody to push them, some of them, but they got to build up this tenacity. As you just said, you cannot say it any plainer. Like a dog and a piece of bone, you've got to want it bad enough. Because
you have to.
Now that you are in all these different roles, all those people at the dinner table, they are so proud of you now. They're saying, oh, we know you could do it, right?
Yes. Now everybody says, oh, don't forget to sign an autographed picture. because you're getting bigger and bigger now. Don't forget the little
ain't
people.
That something?
But I don't forget
and
the little
all right,
people.
Because you know
they're
something,
on the little
it's
people.
Just last night on my TV show, I was I had an artist on out of Norwalk. And this woman began, Bonnie, drawing from she was 5 years old. She never wanted to go out to play. She wanted to draw. And then everybody discouraged her to let her know that, oh, no, your mind will change. You won't want to do that. And she went into corporate for 12 years, and she said, while I was in corporate, it was like a normal chore for me. I had no desire to be there, and she stepped out 10 years ago and began painting, and you should see the work. So our relatives and friends, they love us so much, and they want to protect us. They don't want us to hurt. So that's why they tell. But we have to follow that burning desire inside of us.
And you can't be afraid to. You have to do it, no matter how it's like. It's like trying to push a basketball underwater, how it keeps popping up.
That's right. It's not staying down there. It's rising. It's rising. It's rising.
Exactly.
I love that scenario. Bonnie, tell the listeners, since you began your acting career, tell them some of the roles that you have played.
Okay, I'm on TV in the Apple iPhone 4 commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 2,000 people tried out for that. And I went for a different role as an older person, and I got cast as the mother of a young woman graduating high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's the commercial with Louis Armstrong singing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The movie The Other Guys that just came out, that's with Wahlberg and Farrell. I'm in that movie. I did a segment on The Doctors.
Listen to
and
you.
In 2 weeks, I'm going to be on Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, listen to you. Don't you want a chaperone to go with you to Oprah?
Excuse me?
Don't you need a chaperone to accompany you on Oprah?
Oh, you could come with me anywhere.
Girl.
I would take you anywhere. I love you to death. And that's
Thank you. I'm just so excited about your new invention and what you are doing and paving the way for women. Because there are women who are much younger than you who are sitting there becoming couch potatoes, Bonnie.
They don't want
to
do anything.
To get that desire to wake up and do what you feel like doing. If
everybody
can
says,
do it, so can you.
But
so,
everybody says it's a man's world. It's this, it's that. It's no. It's the women that are not pushing themselves to become part of the world. They're just sitting back and waiting for somebody to come and knock on their door. But that's not going to happen. And
remember back in the day when women used to get dressed and go out and enjoy themselves, whether they had a bow on their arm or not. And I want to go back to this artist last night. The woman had two pieces of artwork there that was just projecting that. The women were elegantly dressed with their parasol, and they were out for a stroll. And I said, wouldn't we want this back in our life now? Everybody's tucked away, locked away inside because, oh, I don't have a spouse. I can't go to a ball or I can't do this. Yes, you can. You can dress and go and enjoy yourself. You don't have to. Bless those who have. But those who don't have, you can still go out and enjoy who you are.
Oh, definitely. But people, women especially, don't. And I don't know why. Because they can.
I think people buys into society a lot, and what is society going to say about me if I turn up at a place by myself? You know, I go out to dinner by myself all the time because the time when I'm going out, none of my friends want to go and everything like that. And they look at me and say, only one. I said, yes, with a nice smile. And I'm not going to sit home and say, oh, I wish I had somebody to go with me. Because I can start a conversation with the waiter or the waitress or any other person in that restaurant to get dialogue and have a good meal. And just enjoy myself. So what can we look for in the future from you? Where would you like to see your career go?
I would like to do a motion picture and see my name on the credits, and I will.
I know you will, girl, from your mouth to God's ears. You just put that request out there. We know there's nothing that's going to stop you. You're going to be in several, so you're going to be seeing your name rolling in the credits, rolling in the credits. And everybody's going to
be...
We remember on the 6th of October 2010 when that lady was on that show and she said it, you know? For those people who are listening and will be listening, Bonnie, to the show on archive, because this show is going to be in archive and people can listen it from wherever and whenever they so desire. What if you would give them a checklist to reinvent their lives? What would that checklist look like? What would you tell them, man, woman, regardless of their gender? What would your message be to them?
My message to them would be, never give up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about what society thinks. Don't worry what your neighbor thinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you think. It's what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Follow your heart. Follow mm-hmm. your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can take 2 steps back, but you're going to take 3 steps forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
never give up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you have
mm-hmm.
to do it for yourself, not for anybody else, because only you matter to yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And your dream can be fulfilled by just struggling and pushing and getting off the couch
mm-hmm.
and getting out there, getting into the world. Because it's easy once you put your 110% into it. Anything
right.
can happen. Anything.
That's right. That's right.
My first job was a movie as an extra.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big hit. It's out there now in the movie theaters. But who would have thought a first job in the industry, I would get a movie, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's never too late. I mean, you can be in your 70s and still succeed in anything that you try to do.
That's
my
right.
goal is going to be, I'm going to be the next Betty White.
Mm-hmm. That's
this
right.
is how popular she is now again.
Yes, I was reading the other day on AOL News. Listen, this lady's not going any place, and she's just a role model for me to look up to, Bonnie, because I'm in my 60s, and people look at me and say, huh? So they say, huh, so much now that when people ask me my age, no, I have to be calculating it. Because I'm not letting the age get into my way. I know I'm here to create legacies, and God is helping me to do so. And I'm in the process of reinventing my brand and everything now because I know God have a powerful work for me to do, Bonnie, and I'm not going to let my age get in the way.
Look how different you are over the 20 years.
Yes,
I can
you have
look
seen
up to
my
you.
Growth. You have seen me grow. You are one of the people who knew me back when. And I tell my friends all the while, I say, we have to go on a big retreat so we can talk about way back when. Because, I don't know if you remember Nancy Hudson that worked at the News Shine.
Yes, I do. I certainly do.
I met her in town a couple months ago. She was introducing me to this lady, and she said, oh, you are looking at a woman that has reinvented her life so many times. And that's what we got to do. You know.
You have to do it.
People look at me and say, when
are
you
going to
get married? I said, when the man asked me, he's somewhere. I said, I don't know where God has him, but he's somewhere, and he's going to meet me. But in the meantime, I'm busy doing God's work. I'm not going to sit around and mourn and whine that I don't have a spouse. I have so much that I have to get done.
You are an inspiration, and I want people listening to know that.
There are so many other people who has inspired me, and it's my time now to do that. And even this show, Bonnie, is set out to inspire, educate, and empower entrepreneurs, want to be entrepreneurs, and small business people, and that's why people like you with your stories need to be told, because not only will your story help people in America to reinvent their lives and their careers, but people all over the world will have the opportunity to hear. And they're going to brace themselves, and they're going to stand up and say, listen, I listen to Bonnie Bloss. And if she can do it, I can do it too. So whenever they are getting any doubt, I want them to listen to this, re-listen, re-listen, re-listen. Download it on all the electrical things they have and share it with others. Share it with others.
It's
so
important.
What does a typical day look like for the actress now?
A typical day is driving from Las Vegas to Los Angeles, going on auditions. It's a very busy day, but if I have a couple of days in between the auditions, I'm out there selling myself.
Mm-hmm,
I'm out there
mm-hmm.
calling these casting directors. Plus,
yep.
I'm also taking classes in acting.
Beautiful,
to supplement
beautiful. You know, Bonnie, I want to piggyback on something you just said, because what you just said, I think God have you said that message for me. You mentioned about selling yourself. And I had a guest a couple months ago on my show, and in the thank you that she sent me back, she said, I want to encourage you to sell yourself more. She said, I've listened to you for some time, and you sell your guests so much, and you are not selling yourself, so you need to sell yourself more. And I have to put reminders up for me, because I am so much of a servant and a giver, and I want to see people accomplish their goals. And oftentimes I neglect selling myself. So I was happy that it's about three times that you have said this in this this conversation this morning, and it, I think, is a message for me to begin to do that. So let's talk about some of the actions that you have been taken, Bonnie, to sell yourself?
What I do is I go on the computer, and there are certain sites that are actors and actress and model sites, and I submit myself, and if I don't hear from them, I submit again and again until these people have my name and face embedded in their minds.
Powerful, powerful, powerful.
You have to keep reminding people that you're there.
Yeah, because it's a million and one people is contacting them, so you got to be fresh. Do you do electronic submission or you do hard copies? What do you do?
Electronic submission.
Okay.
It's much easier. Everything on this site shows everything that I have done in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody that hasn't been in the industry that long, I have a very impressive resume.
Wonderful. Do you have a website of your own?
I just put it up, but I want it to be very powerful. So
mm-hmm.
I only have a few pictures.
Okay.
But I want to have words on there, words to other people.
Mm-hmm.
To explain that I was successful but not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's making me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that on my site.
Yeah, because people got to get the message. It's a specific message that you want to send out. So little by little, you will get that up. I want to take time to welcome Food Amor that's in the chat room. And thank you for stopping by. I think this is the first time that this person is in here because I don't recognize the name. But I thank you for joining us. If you have a question for Bonnie, you can call in and we will answer the question. Or if you want to type it in the chat room, I will come back and look at it and repeat to her what it is. So I thank that person for coming. Yes, Bonnie, I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
And the most important thing is I go from agency to agency, and I make a pest of myself.
Mm.
And you have to go in with a positive attitude.
That's right.
If you go
if you go in there drooping and stuff like that, ain't nobody have time for you because they're looking for people who are excited about what they have to offer.
Exactly.
So if you go in there with a poor me attitude, you already fail before you go through the door.
If you go in with the attitude that you just said, don't bother going through the door because...
That's right. Stay in the parking lot, you know?
That's right, because it's not going to get you anywhere. Another good example is I go to these workshops with famous casting directors.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we had a workshop with the casting director of the new Criminal Minds Behavioral Unit. By the end of the class, he knew not one person's name except for mine.
Ha, ha, ha.
He called me by my first name throughout the whole five-hour workshop.
That's right.
He didn't know anybody else's name.
And
you have to stand out.
You made sure that happened because you knew how important that was.
Exactly. And now
so you
I've
did
been
not
submitted.
Leave it by happenstance. You went there with a mission, and your mission was accomplished.
Yes, it was, because I'd just been submitted as an extra for the brand-new show, Criminal Minds.
That's right. Because it doesn't matter whether he had 300 people in that class. When he left that class, he had one person, Bonnie Bloss, because that's the name he remembered.
That's the name he remembered.
Mm-hmm. And he will continue to remember. You know, I am the same way. I think 3 years ago I was at the Power Networking Conference in Atlanta.
Yes.
And I went into a presenter's class. I did not know the gentleman. I saw his name on the track, Ray Blanchard. So I said, I'm going to his class. And I kind of went in the class late because his class was after my presentation. So he began. And I went in there, and the room was jam-packed, Bonnie. And I walked right up the front, and there was an empty chair. A woman had her pocketbook on it, so I asked her to take it off, and I sat in that chair. Now, everybody's looking at me walking up the front. But years later, when I sent Ray an email to introduce myself about a project I was working on, he remembered who I was because I said to him, I met you at the Power Networking Conference. And his reply was, yes, you were the lady who walked up and sat right in the front row. I remember who you are. Because I just got engaged in the dialogue. And that's what we have to do. We got to pave the way that we want for ourselves.
Exactly. Yes, we do. We determine where our path goes.
That's right. That's right. Because once we
have
step
to
up
reach
on journey,
for it.
You see paved roads. You see direction with green lush grass. You see direction with gravel. And they're all in front of you. The decision you make on which path to take is entirely up to you. It has nothing to do with the government. It has nothing to do with the mean neighbor you have. None of that. We can all rise above all those things, but we have to have the desire and the get-go to go out there and make it happen. When everything around you looks like it's crumbling, you must stand tall and say, I know I can overcome this.
There are so many obstacles that individual women give themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They hold themselves back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have to take a good look at themselves and ask themselves, what would make me happy?
Mm-hmm.
And then go out and get your happiness. Because, it, like I said before, it's not coming to you. You have to go out there
with a
positive attitude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have to grab it and hold on to it.
That's right. Nobody
can push you down.
That's right. And you know the other thing, Bonnie, I love what you just said. And even when we go out there and something happened that we think that's not the result we wanted, we got to take the time to slow down and learn the lesson out of that, because every situation has a lesson in it. And if we learn that lesson, then the next time we go through the door, we will not be doing things the same way. I know. When you went to this workshop with this casting director, when you had gone to a first workshop, you didn't know how to handle yourself totally. But the more workshop you went to, the more your skills, you got more skills and you know exactly what to do.
Exactly. Exactly. I needed more tools to work with.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Each workshop I go to, I learn another tool that gets me just a little bit further towards my goal.
Mhm, 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 mhm. I know. I tell you, you and I could talk for 10 episodes. We want to wrap up this segment, Bonnie. So I want you to take maybe about 8 minutes to just summarize your conversation this morning. What do you want to leave the listeners with to hold on to so that they can accomplish and rise to like cream rises? Because they are all creams sitting down, and now you're here this morning to give them an opportunity to rise. So what would you like to leave them with?
I'd like to leave them with them thinking about something that would really make them happy, something that's burning in their hearts that they always say, gee, I wish I could do this or that. You don't wish anymore. You go out and you bang on every door possible until that one door opens. And you follow it. Sure, there's going to be times where you stumble, but you pick yourself up, you stand up tall, and you move on to the next opportunity. They're not going to knock on your door and say, hey, I'm here for you. No. Each and every person has a desire for something. And most women do not follow their desires. There's a whole world out there for them. Even if there's somebody listening that wants to be an actor or an actress, Hartford, Connecticut has so many openings and agencies. There are beautiful women that are listening right now. There are funny women. There are women that just want to do improvisation or meet other people like themselves. Look up some of these agencies that are nearby. Send in pictures. Call them. Network. And you will become successful. But it's up to the individual themselves to become successful. We can't blame anybody else for us sitting on a couch and wishing. We ourselves have to have a feel that you're going to be successful, you are going to be successful. There's no turning back. You just keep picking yourself up. It's very difficult for women, especially even in the industry, in the entertainment world, there are three times the amount of actors that there are actresses. And the pay scale is even different. But only now are even the actresses pushing more and more and more. And look at Angelina Jolie. I mean, just for one picture, millions and millions and millions of dollars. But just, you know her name right away.
That's
people
right.
out there will know your name. Make
That's
yourself
right.
known. Just don't sit back and watch the world go by. Go out and grab what you want because you can take it.
That's
and
right.
once you take it, you hold on to it. And don't let anybody stop you. Even my whole family laughed at me and said, sure, you'll be famous. You'll do something. And then all of a sudden, you turn on the TV and there I am on the Apple iPhone 4 commercial. I mean, why did they pick me out of 2,000 people for one role?
That's right.
Because they remembered me.
Exactly.
They didn't
you
give
made
me
an impact.
You have to make an impact. It could be in anything that you desire. It doesn't have to be in entertainment. You can be successful if you go out and grab it and hold on to it.
Mm-hmm. You know?
God gives us different paths to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Choose your path and
That's
follow
right.
that path. Just like you said, it could lead to gravel or it could lead to green pastures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can always come back from the path and try another path.
That's right.
Never be discouraged. You have to believe in yourself first. You have to put yourself first because you're the most important person. If you're not good, how are you going to be good for somebody else?
Exactly, exactly. That's what I tell people. You know, I have a whole retreat around that, Bonnie, attending to self without being selfish, because if we are not experiencing fullness with an overflow from which we give from that overflow, we can't serve nobody else. We can't be good mothers, wives, sisters, friends, any of those things. We can't be.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you are a total inspiration.
Oh, thank
you. After 20 years, just the roads that you have taken, it's unbelievable. But you never once look back. You kept going and going and going.
I just keep going. I keep going. I keep going. I'm so excited about what I do, Bonnie. Sometimes I forget I'm supposed to get paid because I'm so energized, and that's one of the reasons now I'm in the process of defining my brand, because you know how some people are. They tend to want to just take advantage of your situation. So I am setting up myself in a way, and as a matter of fact, you mentioned about those different agencies and stuff in Hartford. I didn't even know that because I'm looking for an advertising agency and an agent or manager or somebody who can help me get my name out there and to just make sure that I can capitalize and earn my part of the American dream, because I have been giving back to society and the community for a long time, and I'm not going to stop doing that. But I want people to look on the professional side of what I do. And, you know, I am so, so excited about our conversation this morning. I want to thank you for taking the time to invest in the listeners and invest in my vision and my dream. So I want you, before we close off, as a matter of fact, we can continue our conversation till my next guest call in. But before I kind of wind down to that, I want you to please give your contact information out for all the agencies all over the world that will be listening to the show and want to cast you in England or Australia or somewhere for a role to contact you. So give your contact information, what you want out, your email, whatever you want to give to the listeners, Bonnie.
Well, I'm signed with the Remington Agency in Las Vegas, Nevada.
You want to spell that for the people?
R-E-M like Mary, I-N like Nancy, G, T like Tom, O-N like Nancy, agency in Las Vegas, Nevada. And my email, and my I can give them my email also, which is my personality, Be Goofy. And it's spelled B like Bonnie, double E, G like George, double O, F like Frank, double E, at AOL.com.
All right.
So if anybody out there wants me, you're getting a home run hitter.
That's right. You know, I just want to tell you that I pray for an extremely successful, blessed career, Bonnie. You are such an inspiration. You are a real friend because although we're not on the phone gabbing away, I still feel as close to you as we were 20 years ago. You are the only person out of that group that I'm still in touch with. And
you're the only person that I'm still in touch with because we
connected. You know, from
that
first day that I met you, I knew you were home hit because my heart is not wrong, you know. I felt so connected to you because you are good people. You and Tom are good, genuine people. You have a lot to offer. You are truthful. You are real, wonderful friends. And I am so privileged to know you and to call you friend and to just to be able now to be in a seat where I can watch your new career take off. So continue doing God's work and just keep going for it, and your name will be rolling in many credits.
And I feel the same way about you, and now you have to stop and put yourself out there.
Yes.
Especially with your new brand that's coming.
Yes,
that's what we're
working on now, and you know, hopefully in a few weeks, we're going to know where we are with all the help of my friends. They're going to be doing the different things that they need to do to get me out there. And I am excited about what God has ahead for me. So I want to thank you, Bonnie, for coming on. Before you go, I want to take this opportunity to introduce you, Bonnie, to my – oh, he hung up. Okay, I was going to introduce you to my guest, but he hung up. I don't know why he hung up, so. Anyway, he's out of Westport, Bonnie, and he is the Mindful Chef. So if you have time, maybe you can listen to our conversation. Not sure, because you're probably driving into L.A. How long a drive is it from Las Vegas to L.A.?
Well, with the way I drive, it's not too far away. It's 3 hours and probably 40 minutes. 3 hours, 40 minutes.
Oh, so that means maybe when I'm out in Las Vegas, I can go visit L.A. too.
Oh, of course you can.
Because I've never been out that side. Anyway, give both Toms a good hug for me.
I will. And I hope to make eventually, as you get closer this way, to one of your sessions that you have.
Yes, I am looking. As a matter of fact, I am visiting. You know how they give out those promotional things?
Yes.
So I'm going to be out in Las Vegas, I think, December 29th. Not working, just doing a little something for me.
Okay, so we'll look forward to hooking
we'll
up.
We'll probably talk and probably we can get together. I'm only there for 2 days and three nights or something like that. But I've never been there, so I grabbed the offer. So.
And it might be a man waiting out here for you.
Who knows? Well, hey, Bonnie, meet the Mindful Chef. Now he called back in. Danielle, I want you to meet Bonnie Bloss out of Las Vegas.
Hello. How are you?
Good. And you?
I have been listening, and it's a hard act to follow.
No. Wait, you have to have confidence. Even
I have confidence.
Yeah, but the
mental.
Beauty is that you don't. You have your own act, Danielle, so you don't have to follow hers. Isn't that
I
beautiful?
I hear you.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay,
and I'm going
Tom,
to listen
talk with you
to
later,
yours.
My sister.
Okay. And just be well. and I love you to death. You're an inspiration
you,
to the women
too,
in the world.
My friend.
Okay,
well,
you take
good
care.
Good morning, Chef. How are you, sir?
I am terrific.
It's such an honor to have you on this morning.
I don't know
if it's raining in your neck of the woods. We are not getting any rain up here, but I'm excited to have you on. Thank you for carving out the time.
No pun intended.
All right. Now, for those people who we are having a bit of difficulty, so I'm kind of on the phone and the computer this morning. So if it sounds a little weird, that's the reason why. I want you to just briefly introduce yourself again for those people who did not listen to you when you were on, what was it, 3 weeks ago or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2 weeks
ago. Please introduce yourself.
It's Daniel Anzalotta. I call myself the Mindful Chef, and I have a upscale private catering service which does parties and events and small weddings. And I'm also a chef educator. I do private classes. I teach in schools. I try to help people to understand what it is to be mindful about what they're eating and in some sense about their lifestyles. And I do also other different types of education where I teach people how to build things and take on projects for themselves and to give them the power, to empower them to just be in the presence of themselves. In other words, when you build something, you have the ability to think things through, plan things, and then to have that, to find the joy and satisfaction at the end of the project. And I think that's pretty much lacking in our society today.
Mm-hmm. Powerful. Well, I'm excited to have you back.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be back.
I think this segment we're going to talk about how to build things and work on it and get all of that. But can I tell you something? Brace yourself. You ready for this?
Excuse me?
You know what my crew told me last night at the studio? I was in the studio for the TV.
Yes.
They said, oh, maybe you should get Daniel to cook for us for our Christmas party. I said, I didn't know I was having a Christmas party. They said, but
I'd
now you
to.
Have the chef, so there's no reason not to do it. So here you go, Daniel. Something
good.
For you to think
I
about.
I like that idea.
All right. So, hey, I guess we're going to have to discuss it and follow through.
Very good. I like that. See that? Creating work all the time.
Huh?
Creating work all the time.
That's right.
Excellent.
So, listen, my first question for you is, how does an international chef get into educating people about work? And not only work in the kitchen, but in the bathroom, everywhere.
How does a chef get into the idea of educating people about work?
I said an international chef because you are not only an ordinary chef.
And that's true. I do spend a lot of time abroad. Well,
mm-hmm.
This is how it happened. I grew up in a place and in a household, in a family, that had a work ethic. It's that simple. If you don't see it at home, you're not going to carry that on into your life. And I think a lot of the issues that we're looking at in America today is the dysfunction of the family and the breakup of the family. And there's this idea that the new family, where people come together with children and they form new families, and it doesn't seem to be working, in my opinion. I've seen quite a bit of it in the Fairfield County area in Connecticut where I live. And it's pretty epidemic across the board. I've seen it in Europe where there's a disconnect. There's confusion. There's no real leadership in the family. And I could say I could say that I grew up in a dysfunctional family to some extent, but there was leadership, there was an education, there were grandparents, and things were handed down to us. not material things, stories, how to do things. And it comes down to this idea of showing someone basics. And then from the basics, we build from there. And we've lost that in this country. I had a conversation last night with a Chinese friend of mine, and we were discussing why is China where it is today? Why has it become such a superpower? And it comes down to family, the family
mm-hmm.
unit, and what happened in China during the revolution and how people were suppressed. And
mm-hmm.
but that suppression does not make people any less in their own minds. People will always maintain and hold on to their belief systems. No matter what government or group is suppressing someone, somewhere down deep inside, people will always going to remember what their dreams are. And when things get better, they will pursue them. And that pursuit is based around the idea of working for something. As your guest said earlier, never, never give up. And the idea of work, the nature of work itself, in terms of the idea of physics, the definition is work is energy transferred by a force over distance. That's a definition that physics gives us. Now you can apply that to your life very simply. Work is energy transferred by a force over distance. What does that mean? That means if you want to get something done, you want to achieve something in your life, say it's a two-year college degree at a community college, which is one of the greatest American inventions ever envisioned and implemented. Without community colleges, we would have a bigger mess than we already have. It gives people the opportunity to get something done. So if you, that's your dream, is to get an associate's degree, say, for example, there you have to put energy into that, and that energy is transferred by a force. You're driven to go to class, and over time, which is 2 years, you will achieve something. So if you took that simple formula and definition and applied it to every single thing you did in your life, I get up in the morning, I'm going to have something good to eat for myself. Now, you can either take something out of the freezer and put it in the microwave and get nothing but dead nutrition, or you can say to yourself, I'm going to have a bowl of whole grain cereal and some fruit and have a glass of good organic milk or something, or a good glass of water, whatever it may be. That may take some work. So it's work is the ability, in just layman's terms, work is the ability to get something done.
I want to piggyback, Daniel, on something you said about, I want to use the school scenario, because you're talking to somebody who is an example of that. I decided there were some extra things I needed in my life, educational-wise, and when I started going to a traditional college up in Bridgeport, and then my car transmission died, and I'm a single person and only one car in my family. So when that went, it went. I was thinking, should I pay the mortgage or should I replace the transmission at that time? I figured I had to pay the mortgage. So the transmission got put on the back burner. And during that process, I found out about going to school online. And I'm real old school, and I could not imagine going to school online. And I said, how is that going to be? I'm touchy-feely. I want people around. But then I said, well, I'm going to try it. So I began going to school online, and some nights when I had papers to do, I'm up to until 2, 3 o'clock in the mornings, and people would see me online and they would send me email and said, you are on the computer a lot. And I said, yes. I didn't tell them why I was on the computer. But I had the discipline to go to class when it was needed and to complete my work. And it was such a blessing that I did that. It, regardless of what weather is out there, I didn't have to worry. I wasn't missing classes. But I had to be disciplined to put in the work that it takes. And more so because you're not there to be bouncing off your classmates and joining to their discussion physically, but you're still getting the work done. So I like that idea that you brought up.
Well, work in
our... Continue, sir.
The word work itself scares people. It implies something negative. And in reality, it's not a negative word whatsoever. I relish the word. I love the idea of work. And we have not really instilled in our children throughout this culture, throughout this land, where the joy lies in work. And it goes back to the question you asked, how did an international chef come to this idea of educating people about work? Well, cooking in itself is work. It takes work to cook. And we have become so mesmerized by this idea of convenience and leisure that we forgot that part of that program to understand that it takes work. Yes, we need to have some play. Play is a very important part of work. And we've even messed that up. We have lived vicariously in this culture through other people's ideas, video games, movies, drugs, alcohol. You know, it's always someone else's life looks much better. We have glorified the actor and actress in this culture. I have a degree in drama from Carnegie Mellon University, so I have some sort of expert. I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree from Carnegie Mellon University in drama, so I have a very good background in television production and design. So I'm not trying to diminish that, but we have to take on our own lives. We have to become our own characters in our own scripts.
And play our own role, yep.
And we have to live those dreams out and try to do it for ourselves. The do-it-yourself movement in this country is growing. The back-to-basics movement in this country is growing. And that all revolves around work, the sustainable movement in this country, the organics movement in this country. You don't get an organic farm by looking at it. You get an organic farm because it goes back to that first premise, work is energy transferred by a force over distance. You will never achieve organics in this culture and sustainability in this culture unless you work at it, unless you start to transfer from the fossil fuel economy into a more sustainable economy. We are still trucking stuff from all over the country to places because the demand for fossil fuel items is so high. We're still engaged in consuming fossil fuels beyond comprehension. And we need to get back to the basics, and getting back to the basics means work. It takes work to accomplish this, and we have
but
to change our mindset.
But you know what I've noticed, Daniel? We have become a society, and I'm not going to say a word because I've never, other than Jamaica and here, I have never lived any other place. I think we have become a society of microwave results. Everybody wants it now and wants it quick.
Right, but that's a false economy. It's a false economy in reality. It's a false economy for oneself. In order to have work, you have to create the work. We create the idea of entrepreneurship in this culture, and yet people are lost in this culture. They don't know where to turn anymore. They have been working for corporations. The corporations have let us down. They have lied to us. They have given us propaganda. The products that they provide us are no longer of any value. And there are constant recalls, even from major automotive companies that we've trusted for years that are offshore companies. They have diminished their products. So people are, in a sense, confused. They're in a daze. They don't know what to do. And it gets back to that idea that we have to get to the core of the basic value system. And it goes back to the family. It really does. We have to work at it. You talked earlier about marriage and divorce. I think someone mentioned something like that. And, you know, if something doesn't work out, if you didn't paint the room the right color, there's an argument and there's a possibility. You know, it's so trivialized today that
that's right, because
it's
people
diminished.
Don't
We've diminished everything. The idea of yes.
I know. You know, my philosophy is it is never too late. How do we reinvent ourselves around work? I understand
that
the family plays an extremely important role, and I think just the fact that families begin to eat together again.
Absolutely. I've been advocating that for the last 15 years.
Around the dinner table. I
that's
think
exactly
that's where
correct,
the family part is coming into it, where we can begin to instill in our children so they don't grow up with a mentality of entitlement and everybody got to do something for them. So where do we begin? Because
we
can recoup, maybe not in my lifetime and your lifetime, but we can sure begin the legacy. Where
do we begin? We begin in two parts.
Mm-hmm.
In the home, it doesn't matter at this point if it's a family with a mom and a dad, you know, this kind of thing. If it's a single mom situation,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. What matters is that something starts, and
mm-hmm.
there are tremendous amounts of situations where there is a single mom, and that person has to be strong, and they have to play a dual role in many respects.
Tell me about it. You're talking to one.
I would advocate what you just said, to have that time at the end of the day to cook together, possibly shop for food together, and come home, cook, and have a meal. I know that sounds like it's a lot to do, and it's very difficult, but at the end of the day,
it's so much more fun and enjoyment.
You will reap benefits because it's a time to share. Then at the same time, a parent should go to their school, talk to the teachers, and go join PTAs and be
mm-hmm.
as involved in a child's education as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God for computers for that, because lots of school districts now post a lot of the information online.
Right.
So a parent
can
go to a computer.
And just help around and walk around and help the kids out, you know?
Right. And volunteer. Volunteering is a very good way of doing things.
Up, you know? Huh?
What's that? I didn't hear you.
I said I used to go visit my son's school. He never liked it because I always just sneak up. I was part of the PTA. I started the school banking system at his school and all of that. And I always am present because I used to work the night shift, so I had the daytime free. And he'd always say, ain't nobody else, Mom, coming to school. You're always at school. I say, yeah, everybody know me there too.
And
you know,
that's
so
where you start.
You've got to get involved. So I like that.
You have to get involved.
It's one step at a time. You know, my neighbor just put on a new front door, and he and his wife did it. And I was passing. I drove past, and I was smiling. I said, oh, if Daniel see that, he'll be real happy.
Exactly.
Because I saw your clip on Facebook. You were helping someone in Brooklyn to do a bathroom?
Bathroom in Brooklyn, a house in Trumbull. Brooklyn is done. Trumbull is coming to an end. And I'm looking for more projects like that where I actually go into someone's home or business. I do it on the cooking end and I do it on the contracting end. That means if someone wanted to do something and they didn't have the funds to actually go out and hire contractors or plumbers or carpenters or sheetrockers, and they needed to get something done in their home, I come in with the tools, I set the tools up, I have classes on how to utilize the tools and how to actually implement the ideas, and I guide them through that, and I teach them hands-on how to build a wall, how to put sheetrock up, how to change an electrical outlet.
You're going to have to change your name, man.
Well, it's a lifestyle more than it is anything else at this point. And
well,
I think
you're a lifestyle chef. You're not only a mindful, I guess you're a mindful lifestyle chef.
That's correct. I mean, I have the skills and I have the background.
I'm just messing with you, Daniel. So do you know how to fix boilers, too?
What's that?
Do you know how to fix boilers?
Depends on what the problem is. I've installed them from scratch.
Wow.
And,
this is
really what America is about. We've moved away from the pioneer concept, and we've farmed it out to other cultures, and they're selling it back to us.
Mm-hmm.
We invented
mm-hmm.
it. We invented
mm-hmm.
jazz.
Mm-hmm.
We invented the community college. We've invented so many things, and we've offshored everything. And I am just beyond comprehension of what's happening here. We can radically change this economy overnight. We can retool. We can get the factories up and going. We can start fabricating stuff. We have the natural resources, but more so is that we have the human resources. That's really what counts
yeah.
here. We have
but
the
nobody
diversity.
Don't want to hear that word used anymore, a factory. They look
well,
on
guess
it
what?
As we are going in the reverse.
Well, guess what, doctor? We cannot depend on the virtual world for
right.
an economy because it's not real.
You're right
yes,
about that.
Yes, it's nice to see all the computing, but if you look at it across the board, we are using so much electrical power to keep all these things going, and we don't really know where the fuel is coming from. So, you know, what's interesting about the idea of the word work, work is energy, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
I think it was Einstein that said matter is neither created nor destroyed. It just changes forms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really deep concept when you start thinking about it. It gets into the spiritual realm. It gets into every aspect of everything we touch. And
mm-hmm.
we're not getting that kind of education. It comes down to energy, and energy in all its forms, human energy, fossil fuels, sustainable, and we have to kind of redefine everything we're doing across the board. We are in really the crossroads of a major, major change, and whenever there's change, a radical change, there are people who are going to get hurt and people who are going to succeed. And we have to be very cautious and careful about what we're doing at this point because there are people who will just not be able to absorb the kind of changes that are going to be coming. And we need to educate people and show them new skill sets. And not everyone can be a Bill Gates. We're going to still need plumbers and electricians and chefs. We still need the use of our hands. I had a friend when I was growing up.
But we need to be the best. I got to be the best Daphne. You got to be the best Danielle. And I think that is the issue where everybody wants to be a Bill Gates or Donald Trump and all of that. And nothing is wrong with that. But you got to dig deep inside you to find out who you are.
Why,
and
doctor? Why, doctor,
best.
Did we have this economic crisis? Because people were shuffling around nothing. They were passing fakeness around, mortgages, derivatives, all make believe, all virtual. And when you try to follow the paper trail, there is none. There's no accountability. There's nobody
wow.
who wants to pay the consequences because when you do real work, when you decide, doctor, that you want to put a wall up in a room, you need to look at the situation and say to yourself, I have this amount of money. I can go to the store. I can buy these many 2x4s and this many sheets of sheetrock and these many
mm-hmm.
screws and joint compound, and I need these types of tools, and I have $200. Can I do this wall? It's all practical. It all makes sense.
You know
okay?
something? Something just came to my mind as you were talking about that. I had a neighbor. She used to live three houses from me. And her husband is a handyman that does that kind of work. And they have one son. And that little boy, when he was like 4 and 5 and 6, he knew everything about what you are talking about, Daniel, because he was going out with his father sometime and learning these things. So his name is Kyle. Kyle and I went to Home Depot to buy paint for my house, right?
Yes.
And he looked at me. He called me D. He said, oh, D, he said, you need a putty knife and a drop cloth. I said, come on, Kyle, I don't need that. He said, yes, you do. I said, the man who's going to paint the wall didn't tell me that. He said, D, you do, and I know where they are. So the sales clerk at Home Depot went down and got the putty knife, and he came with it. So Kyle looked at him, and Kyle said, no. And he was able to tell the man in inches the size putty knife that I want. What you know, when the man called me on the phone, the guy who was going to paint my place, he said, ma'am, I forgot to tell you to get a drop cloth and a putty knife. I said, that's all right, because my able assistant, Kyle, told me I needed it.
That's right, and those skills,
you know,
would be with him for the rest of his life.
Yes. The impact that has on his life, and his mother and his father encouraged him. You know, during the snow time, that little boy used to come down here. He has a little riding child-sized thing.
Right.
And he would come and shovel the snow. He would lift the bags with the gravel, and he was just so active and doing landscaping and all that stuff at a tender age. And he was never complaining about the work.
And that's a beautiful thing to hear.
It just came to my mind to say, there is one family that I know who is doing just what you are talking about. And if we could just get 10 families a year committed to doing that, what a difference that would be.
It would make all the difference, because it creates community, it creates education, and it creates satisfaction when you complete something. And that's across the board. And cooking is one of those things. That's why there's a great, great interest in America at the moment about cooking. Everyone wants to be a chef. Everyone wants to have a restaurant. Everybody wants to be going to a farmer's market. And the reason for that is because there's tremendous, tremendous satisfaction in seeing something, especially if you have the opportunity to watch something grow. I mean, if you think about how powerful it is
My father was a farmer, so I remember.
Yes, the idea
I remember
of a seed.
All of that, you know.
Right.
I used to wake up early in the morning to go with my father. He was going to milk the cows and all of that stuff, and just the farmers in my district growing up, Danielle, they did not have tractors. They worked with each other, and they till the soil manually with a pitchfork. So they would go, and I think that's where I learned networking from, because the men, they would work one farm 1 week, and then they work another farm the other week. And they circulate the labor.
Right.
I didn't see anybody dying from heart attack or anything, because these people are working.
Right. And they didn't get sick.
No. I don't think
I ever
saw.
And you know why they didn't get sick? They didn't get sick because...
My father, go to the doctor. No, I didn't.
No, they didn't get sick because they were exposing themselves to all kinds of incredible good bacteria. They were eating well, they were sleeping well, and they had each other.
Yes.
That's the most important. It was a community. It was tribal.
Oh, yeah.
It was clan.
You know something is, last night I was talking about that on the TV show, because you know what? After those men work the farms during the day, they go home and they eat their dinner, and then they gathered on the different trees in different parts of the community, and they play domino until certain hours. And that was their recreation, but it was
right.
Community. the women would gather with the children, and they used to call him Anansi Story. And I don't know why they put the Anansi in the front, but that's what they call it. And they would say, Anansi say this, Anansi say that. And they were demonstrating how creative we could be at storytelling.
That's correct.
You know, and we want that back. We want that back. We need to begin to open our doors so we can have dialogue with the neighbor and see how we can do things differently.
Well, we can do things differently by dismantling the big agriculture mechanisms that are in place to poison us. And when people are not well and when people are sick, they can't work, they can't achieve, they can't accomplish, because that's the nature of work. And humans love to work. That's what we do. We are someplace in the future that used to be the past. We didn't get to this moment now, the moment that we're living in and speaking in, because people didn't accomplish and do work. We would not be here, you and I, if others didn't come before us. And for
that's
those
right,
who came before
right.
us, they did
and
something, and they achieved something, and they worked at it. We are at the point, first time in the history of humanity, where the possibility of this planet being eradicated, dismantled, destroyed, not just by some war or some unfortunate event that would be a nuclear disaster, but just by the nature of the contamination and the poisons in the environment. We're killing ourselves. We have to get back to the basics, and the only way
that's
to
right.
do it is getting back to that nature and understanding of what work is. And in that work, whatever it is, if a person can find the purpose or the intent or the mindfulness
the
in the work and the enjoyment, that satisfaction, no matter what it may be, is phenomenal.
I remember a few years ago, I planted zucchinis, I planted corn, I planted tomato. Oh, my heavens. I got such a huge harvest. I was taking loads and loads of tomato into Danbury to give to my co-workers and friends. And people could not understand. They're looking at my nails and they're thinking, oh, you got those nice nails? How come you plant tomato? I say, I just enjoy playing in the dirt. And Daniel, were you, I don't remember, were you the person that was telling me about this organization that the large farmers must get their seeds from?
Well, that's Monsanto. That's big agriculture.
All right, I wasn't sure if it was you. I thought,
the patenting of seeds. In other words,
because that was such an awakening for me, because I grew up where my father would leave some cucumbers and some pumpkin on the vine so the seed get real mature to dry to plant for the next time. And you were letting me to know now that the seeds that people are planting now does not allow them to do that, for the same fact that they have to go back to these places to get their seeds, and that's a shame.
This is a very, very sad situation, yes. They they breed the seeds in order not to reproduce themselves when the fruit or the vegetable need to be harvested and have the seed taken from them. Those fruits and vegetables no longer give seed. So that means you have to go back to Monsanto and various other companies like them to get seeds. That's nothing more than drug dealing to me. It's big, giant corporate drug dealing.
You know?
What's that?
I said they are holding the farmers hostage.
Exactly.
So, you know, people need to collaborate and take a stand. And how do we do all of this? I mean, I understand about the education, but how do we encourage people to take a stand? I think because people want ease and convenience, they are not willing to go the distance to live their life. Because the bottom line is that when we accomplish what you are talking about and going back to basics, we are enhancing and lengthening the lives of the generation, not only ours.
Right.
But the generation after us, because I grew up on that system that you are talking about. That's what I grew up on in Jamaica. You grew up on the same thing in the Bronx where your family was doing that. And now you can take a stand to talk about that. How do we get others to buy into this?
Well, the issues at hand are very large, and you're dealing with major corporations that are selling hamburgers for a dollar. Now, when you sell a hamburger for a dollar, your food cost has to be something, right? So when you're buying ingredients from that level, from that gigantic amount of distribution, you cannot compete with the organic farmers. So we're trying to stabilize something in a way that gives equality to the organic farmer, the natural farmer. And
right.
there are no subsidies for organic farmers. Organic farmers do not get any government subsidies, but big agricultural conventional farmers do. So when you're producing giant farms that grow corn, for instance, corn is the operative word here, and you're trying to maintain your own little farm on the organic natural side, it's hard to compete. So the way that these big corporations that are selling hamburgers for a dollar do their business is that they have a giant ability to buy vast amounts of corn-based foods. It's in everything we touch. And these are fillers. And it holds true for the vast, giant farms that produce beef that are eating corn. So they have the ability to produce these products for very, very little money. Now, if I'm in a socioeconomic situation where I don't have much money, I'm going to turn to that because I can at least eat something for a dollar, right?
You're not looking
so
at
it. So what are we how do you break that pattern? How do you bring foods that are worthwhile to communities that otherwise wouldn't do it? In Westport, for instance, I spoke about GVI, Green Village Initiative, and their intent to change what's happening in Bridgeport. There are great things going on through GVI and bringing GVI to Bridgeport, where these communities, these social economic communities that are living in poverty will now have the ability to grow foods and community gardens. You start there because those people, most of the people that are in these types of neighborhoods are coming from places where they've been doing it their whole lives.
Exactly.
And now they're going to come to America, and they're going to go, where are they going to go?
There's a place in Queens, New York, where people can lease plots of land to do their community garden. My friends, my Jamaican friends that lives in Queens Village, they do that. And they plant from the community garden, and they also farm in plastic buckets because the back of their yard is paved, but they have these huge white buckets that they plant peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes in, and then they plant other vegetables at the community garden. So
That's the beauty of gardening. You can do raised beds, buckets, whatever you can hold dirt in, with some seeds of your choice and some sunshine and some water, and you can do it. That's a way of doing it. But we're up against a very big machine, and it will take a lot of work on behalf of a lot of people, and this is across the board of every social economic strata in America and the world, where people really need to come together and say, we've had enough of the poisons, because once you're toxic, once your body's toxic, you're going to be too weak to work, and that's exactly where they want to keep people. So when you say, how did an international chef get to the idea about work, it goes back to the food, it goes back to the family, it goes back to some sensibility and some identity. People have lost their identities vicariously,
right,
living through other people's ideas of what nutrition is, or what flavors are, what food is. I told you the story about when I went up to Goodwill in Bridgeport. It really is all about these things. Because
you never told me that story. You probably had it in your mind.
Did I tell you
Would
the story
you like
about when,
tell
I,
the
when
story
I cooked?
Now?
Yes, I think I told you about when I cooked up in Bridgeport at
Goodwill. Oh, yes, 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 you did. Would you please, did you tell it to me on the air or you told it on the phone?
I believe
remember.
I told it to you on the air. But quickly, I cooked in Bridgeport when I came back from France.
Tell it to this audience, please.
When I came back to this country 10 years ago, more, whatever it was, and I needed a job, I went up to Bridgeport as a rented chef person to work for a week because this, the guy who was cooking up there was taking off for a week and I was going to do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that particular Goodwill has, I think, a little shelter there, a temporary shelter for people just coming in for a short period of time. And I was cooking in France and I was working with tremendous fresh products, really amazing stuff. And now all of a sudden I was facing blocks of frozen food. And the week prior I was in France, and now I'm in this kitchen in Bridgeport. And a little voice kept saying, leave, leave. And another voice was saying, no, you said you were going to do this. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this. So I did the best I could that Monday. It was Monday through Friday. I came the next day with some of my own spices and herbs and things, and I tried to jazz the food up. When I came back on Wednesday, I was doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner 5 days. When I came in on Wednesday, there was a small group of folks that were in the shelter there, and the gate went up, and there was they gave me a round of applause.
That's right. Now you
because
made
I,
a difference.
I touched people with their tongues. I didn't realize it, but they had a great appreciation for the flavors. And that's when everything changed for me in that moment. That's when I realized I had another type of work to do.
Yeah.
And it has been a struggle to do that. Because it's not food is not about fancy plates. It's not about trends. It's nice to see all that. It's really wonderful to go to a fine restaurant. But food at the end of the day has to be about one single idea. And it has to be about fueling the body to keep it healthy. And we have moved so far away from that idea. We have become toxic. And we have become toxic, the environment's become toxic. The water supply is toxic. The food chain is broken. And now we're running around like chickens without heads trying to figure out how do we correct this. There's a giant movement in America to do that. It's all over the world. I was in France last year. There was a great congress in the town I was visiting about organic foods. And I went. It was a three-day event, and I went 2 days. And I didn't know where I was for a moment because the same issues are at hand. People are concerned, but there's a battle. There's
a
battle going on between the good and the bad.
Epidemic. It's globally, and I think I asked you the question, which is I'm going to attempt to answer. How do we reinvent all of this? It's community by community and town by town. Because I sit and I listen, and if I'm doing my part, In New Milford or Brookfield or Danbury, you are doing your part in Weston or Walt Bridgeport, Stanford. Before we know it, the tie will be completed because we are going to have each community so intensely focusing on what we each need to do to correct this epidemic that we are going through. Because our children are suffering. They are so obese. You know, people are dying from diseases and all of that stuff. And we can take control of this mess.
Yes, we can. It's not even a matter of yes, we can. It's that we are. We have to bring it into the present moment in real time. there is a snowball effect happening. I know that. And the corporations and the plunderers of the natural resources on this planet should wake up that there is a counterforce to what they're producing and distributing and poisoning us with. And we will never be able to find the joy in work for ourselves if we're in disease. It's this ease, not at ease. We will take what we have and we will utilize what we have to the best of our abilities to achieve our goals in a sane way. And the best way to do that is to get involved. Get involved in a garden. Get involved in cooking. Get involved when you go shopping for food. Pick up the can. Read the ingredients. See what's in it. Where is it coming from? Where are the ingredients coming from? Are they coming from abroad? Are they coming from too far away? You know, there's a big, giant movement to buy local food. I say buy local everything. Hire the local carpenter. Buy local products. If someone's producing something, if someone's knitting a sweater, buy it from them. Go to yard sales. Recycle products. Reinvent yourself by taking a product and utilizing it for something else. Reuse, rethink, recycle, repurpose. It's all about keeping stuff out of the landfills. I mean, it's just the cycle of insanity feeds into the centralized hub of waste, and we have to change that. We have to counter that by not utilizing stuff that has no purpose whatsoever. Don't feed into those ideas that you have in your head that you need it right now, whatever it may be. Try to find something that will be lasting, something that you could pass on. I still have my grandmother's it's called a passoir in French, but it's a colander. I still use my grandmother's colander.
It's
a thing with holes in it. It just drains. Mm-hmm. Now, someone would look at it. It's old and beat up, but it still does what it's supposed to do.
You know, I must tell you, I did not realize, I did not know how Brussels sprout grew.
Growing a big, giant cluster.
I didn't realize that. I went to the organic farm last week, and I said, oh, my heavens, I didn't realize, because, you know, at the organic farm, they just cut the huge cluster down. And they, instead of selling
it
by the pound, they just sell it by the cluster, the stalk. And I had such enjoyment. Yesterday, I cut the last portion off the stalk. And now what I do, I cut the stalk up and I throw it outside in my flower garden. And next summer, and I think I'm going to stick some tomato in the flower beds and everything like that. But it's amazing. It's amazing what we can do to turn around. Now, I would like for you to take 8 minutes, sir, and just summarize your conversation this morning. Give them a checklist on how to begin to shop for their family's tables.
Well, I just want to reiterate this one idea, or two ideas to begin with, that work is energy transferred by a force over distance. That means when you get an idea in your head about achieving something, you're going to have to put energy into it. You're going to have to put effort into it. And that's the force that's driving you to accomplish something. I don't care what it may be. If it's making a dress, if it's painting a room, or baking. When you bake something, you know what you should do? Don't bake one or two things. Bake several things and give one or two of those away.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to your neighbor for no
reason.
That's
why, you know, my mom always tells me, sweetie, you cook a lot, because nobody should come to your house and leave hungry. Now we know why that was said.
Whatever. Just give it away. Don't have a reason. Just say, oh, because I feel like it. That's it.
That's right. So that's a good reason.
That force has to be over a distance, and that distance is time, and that's when you have the reward. You can't go from A to Z. You see, people want to go from A to Z without the process. formula, this definition in physics, work is energy transferred by a force over distance, is its process. It's the process. And we have to go from A to B to C to D, and we build something. You don't get a PhD when you first start college or university.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You have to start somewhere, and then you start in kindergarten.
Start somewhere.
That's where you start your PhD in kindergarten, if it's properly administered, the education. And then you build from there, little by little by little by little, and over time, distance, you have a degree. So that has got to be applied to every aspect of one's life.
Right.
And then the idea
is what is missing out of everything. But everybody,
right.
The beginning and the end. Nobody wants the in between, which is what the process is.
Right. So work is the ability to get things done. When you look at corporations and the presidents and leaders of corporations, they have a very, very good work ethic. They have a vision. They have a means to achieve, and they do something that a lot of people don't do. They work at it because they have the ability to get something done, you see, and that has to be applied to everything you do. So that's what I'd like to leave people with. If you have a dream, if you have something you want to accomplish, you have to set out with energy, intent, and transfer it by a force, your ability to move yourself along. The human body, if we look at the human body, we can look at it in biomechanical ways. We're essentially a machine. We have joints and leverages and tendons. And so our own bodies are machines. And we have to look at it from a physics point of view. What is the mechanical advantage that we're going to use to get to where we have to go? And we can apply all these ideas to our lives. When we want to eat, is it easier to go to the freezer and to the microwave, or is it harder to go to the store and buy some vegetables and cook up a vegetable dish or grill something, no matter what it may be? It takes work to accomplish good nutrition. And this may be why we find ourselves in a position we are with kids' lunches in schools, is because we're so tied into the easy aspect of it because somebody else is taking care of it. Some corporations providing that kind of nutrition. When, in fact, if you want to get good nutrition in the schools, you have to really cook it at the cafeteria.
That's right.
You have to make the food. I grew up like that. The cafeteria ladies.
Connecticut, they are doing just that. I think every school should visit that cafeteria. It's amazing.
And that's what has to be accomplished because that type of cooking on the premise in a school takes – so it goes back to the idea of work. It takes more effort to do that, but at the end of the day, you will have happier, healthier people. And that's what scares corporations, that they don't want to see happy, healthy people. Because when you have happy, healthy people, you will eradicate disease, you will eradicate
war.
Because
you're alert and you're aware and you're empowered, and they don't want that.
That's right. And you will eradicate war. See, war is profit. We've yet to figure out how to make profit in peace. So once we figure out how to make a profit in peace, and one of those ways is to do it by economy of trade. So when you trade with another culture, another country, you won't have time for war. You'll be doing business.
That's
what's happening.
You're doing the other stuff. That's the same thing like my friend Colby. Oberman from Israel say, you know, he's there, he has some Arab partners, and they're just busy making a difference in the world. Ain't nobody want to be fighting, you know.
No. But there are individuals in the world.
Where did time go? Where did the time go? I tell you, I must tell you, I'm beginning to create a list of some like-minded people because I want to do a panel of some like-minded people around these different issues here, and your name is on that list, mister.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you have just carved your way into this show. Your name is carved here because you are so extremely diverse. You know, there's so much value that you bring to my listeners, and I, you know, it is such an honor to have met you.
Thank you.
And to know you, you are really a wealth of knowledge and information. Would you please give your contact information to the listeners?
My name is Daniel Lanzalotta, Lanzilotta. I can be reached at themindfulchef@gmail.com or Facebook or at 213-206-4446. And I'm happy to speak to anyone, groups, schools. I just want to add one thing. I would like to eradicate the mythology and put into essence what this country has sold itself as. This is the place where people come to. This is the place where diversity is king, where our power is in the people. The resources of America are in its people, across the board, across sexual orientation, across color,
right,
across religion. And no one should be outcast, because what's said on the Statue of Liberty should be what every school child repeats every single day.
That's right.
We have to understand that in poor places across this country is talent. There's talent, and there are ideas that are festering in these communities that will never be able to be realized unless we feed children correctly, educate them equally, and have them grow up to be happy and healthy. That's what this place should be about. This culture, this country should not be known for its nonsense.
Yeah, we are almost out of time here. So, as usual, we never have enough time to talk because the conversation gets so good. So, I want to, Daniel, remind you to stop by the show page. Leave a comment for us, please, about the show. And mark it favorite. And send the link out to everyone you know all over the place so they can listen to our conversation. I appreciate your investment of time into not only my vision and purpose, but also to those listeners. I want to thank you, and I need to talk to you about what my crew wants. So stay blessed and continue doing God's work, my brother.
Thank you so much for having me, and we'll talk soon.
Bless you.
Thank you.
I believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need thank you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. And I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations.